Praise the Lord. So I'll take some questions if there are. Yes, give him.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Sir, I want to ask this question. Like the young man that used to give all those ladies tests, and if they fall, was he doing the right thing or he was doing the bad thing?
Praise the Lord. Your question is a serious question. To start with, that young man is not converted.
Thank you, sir.
He's not converted. But let me also tell you that he knows he's not converted. He doesn't want to marry an unconverted woman. So he knows how to know the hypocrites, those who are in the same group with him.
All right, sir.
So that is what he uses to know those who are in the same group with him. It is not supported. He's a devil.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. But why should you pretend to be a Christian when you are not? You know they wear earrings, you know they wear trousers, you be church worker. And then the thing say you be pastor daughter. Therefore, pastor daughter must be holy daughter. Then they come near you and how will they confirm whether you are or not? They must test now. And unbelievers are very smart. They know how to get what they are looking for. It is mumu Christians that don't know how to. Yes.
Praise God. Is it possible for a mother to give, as in to collect the bride price of her daughter? My reason is that my family, my mom and my dad got separated when we were still young. So me and my sister, we don't go to my daddy's side. So, and since my daddy died in 2006, we've not been there. And my fiancé went to make inquiries, and they told him that my family is a very bad one because of my grandfather. So, and he said that the only family he knows I have is my mom's side, because he knows all my uncles from my mom's side and my mommy's village where she married. So he said that as long as that my grandfather is still alive, that he will not go there. That if he can do it in my mommy's side. So I'm a kind of confused and afraid.
Now, you are talking about tradition. And we don't use Bible to answer traditional issues. So the question you should ask is to ask the traditional people from your area whether in this circumstance your bride price can be collected from your mother's side. Whatever is applicable in your place, then you do it. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Church, praise the Lord. Pastor, please. I want to be honest. I don't understand this issue of this with one issue, wool and other thing about hair. I want you to clear me so that I will know
whether a Christian woman should put them on or not.
Whether a Christian woman should put with one or use wool or use this Hausa thread. This one, this shoemaker, this one they are using to do shoe, or is it only her hair, or whether a sister supposed to even do farming? I see some people, some Christian sisters, they cut their hair, they now leave it natural. If the hair is blowing, they will now cut it again, say because they say they don't want to do farming. So I don't understand that. Maybe I want you to put it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So your house, should a Christian woman do her hair? I think that's your question.
Yes, sir.
How should a Christian woman dress her hair?
Yes, sir.
You can dress your hair anyhow, but don't do it the worldly way. Simple.
Sir. Sir, throw more light.
I should throw more light?
Yes, sir.
What,
from the bottom of my heart,
whatever whatever you do to your hair, there must be a motive for doing it. Whichever way you dress your hair, there must be a motive for doing it. The Indian woman does not perm her hair. Her hair is naturally long. She washes it and dresses it. It remains long. Even if you cut it, a short time, it grows back again. Long. Now, the African woman, naturally, your hair is not that long. Now, when you decide to do anything to make your hair look un-African, you are now going fashion. Why should you, an African woman, want your hair to look like an Indian woman hair? God is a God of variety. He has a reason for allowing us our hair like that, for allowing you black instead of white. He has a reason for making you short instead of tall, fat instead of thin, some thin instead of fat, some like pat, better. Their husband, shame, go, they cut their husband. They go, teach her not to feed this woman. No matter how she eat, but there are some, even if the man, they suffer them. Now so they go, they blow, they go. Fat, they go. It's natural. There's nothing you can do. And so, when you begin to carry attachment or carry chemical and put on your hair, there is a motive for doing it. And always, it is for reason of fashion. You want to look like some other people out there. It is wrong. Be as natural as possible. And any other thing you will do to that hair, let the reason be good enough for God to understand with you. For instance, if you have a problem where you don't have hair, and you decided to put on a wig, there's nothing wrong with it. But the wig must be as close to the natural hair until when somebody sees you, they will not know that it's a wig. Because the motive is to remove that infirmity that your hair just chops off like that. I've seen a few cases like that. We had to pray with them. You had perverted your hair. Before you know the truth, you discover that you should not be perming your hair with all those chemicals. And you repent. So you decide to cut off all that perverted one. Then everybody, God will know why you cut it off, so that the natural one can grow. Or you have very hard hair that needs proper management, and you do something to soften the hair enough for you to be able to manage it whichever way you want to pack it. The reason that God will understand. But if it is so that you will look for like some television star, some Nolly or Holly or Bollywood star that you love so much, you want to look like that, then it becomes sin. Let your hair be as natural as possible. And generally, the Bible speaks about moderation. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Chapter 19. Hallelujah. Verse 6, 7, 8 says, the bride has made herself
Praise the Lord, Pastor.
Yes.
Daddy, my question is that...
Please tell us your name, where you come from, and what you do for a living, in case.
Praise God. My name is Kinsley Obochoma. I am from Imo State. I'm an Ecoroom engineer. Pastor, my question is that I don't know if there is a, let me say, somebody that just went, you saw a woman you want to marry. Both of you, that week you met that woman and you took her to marriage committee or whatever, or whatever. All of a sudden, that week, that the same week, you are a contractor, you lose your job. You, there is, the contract, they decided to close it up. Where you're working to get salary, the whole thing closed. Everything about you turned around. The landlord himself came that the same week to increase that house rent from 200,000 to 350,000 now. And it seems the whole thing is turning upside down. You keep on praying and all that, hoping to not knowing where the problem is and all that. But all of a sudden, a problem came up and it happened that you store somebody's name with mom or no mom of a thing. Who is
of,
this?
Of what?
Mommy, your phone. So the lady picked offense and she decided to leave. After your explanation, she couldn't bear with it. She left. That the same day she left, they called you back for the work. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That the same day they called you back. And it seems the whole thing start working well again. But this question I'm asking is real. So, and is somebody you love so much and you want to really go for that particular marriage? My question now is that, and the Bible said, according to where we read, that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. What is the man now going to do?
But you said the woman has gone.
She later came back now after a matter of counseling. And
when she come back again, did
the thing turn back again.
He lost the job again.
The job, you went there, the man that is in charge told you that you are coming by 9 o'clock. While sometimes you go by 10, say there is no problem about that. But now you go, they say you should go. Now why did you come by 9 o'clock?
So the trouble started again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What sister is answering here? You say what?
The girl needs deliverance.
Somebody say another thing here.
She needs deliverance.
What did you say?
I said that girl, she's not her wife, her real wife. We give her good luck. Good luck will follow him.
I think your answer is better, that if I were you, I would take her for deliverance. Serious one. Since you love her, you take her for deliverance. Certainly.
Pastor, the deliverance has, they have done the deliverance. But what I'm saying now is that the things has not revised. And we have been waiting so long. I don't know. I still want to ask, is it good for me to deliver?
We are looking at it as a principle now. Because first and foremost, you won't wait. You are a church member here. You won't wait for a forum like this before you present such a problem. We are looking at principles here. We are not treating individual cases. One expects you to have brought her to us, or you come and meet us and say, see one strange phenomenon in your life. See this. Then we go into the spirit and know what is happening. And break that thing since you love her.
Amen.
After all, she sit down, JJ, and you go meet her. So, you, I mean, has she chased you?
No.
Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we are aware it happens. Sometimes it happens. It's not you that have the problem, it's the girl that has the problem. Praise the Lord. But sometimes too, it may be you that have the problem. Maybe a spirit that says, you want to share me with another woman? Make us yes. You go. So, we never can tell until we pray. And we know whether now you on at the girl, because if you be saying that you're trouble, they pursue that girl soon. Yes.
Praise the Lord, church. Pastor, I want to ask, as in a man, as in your sister in the house, the man has paid his dowry and his bride price, but have not gotten married to, as in a white wedding. He has gotten married to her. All of a sudden, your sister died. So the man was like, I love this family so much. I want to be a member of this family. I want to marry the sister. Is it right? Should the sister agree and marry the man?
Oh, he had married...
Paid the dowry
of a girl. The girl dies.
Yes.
But he says he still wants to pick somebody from that family, wants to pick her sister.
Yes.
Now, this also has a cultural dimension to it. If the culture permits such, it's nothing wrong. But scripturally, the bond you have is broken when the other spouse dies. You are free to pick another woman. Now, the Bible does not tell us where you must pick. So, it's a cultural thing. If the culture permits it, why? She goes. Nothing wrong with it.
Another one is that, as in, my sister got married. You know, we are Catholics. He got married to Anglican, although she has broke out. She now worships at the Mountain of Fire. So, our mother-in-law calls her. Immediately, as in, the agreement she had with her mother-in-law is that, lately I got married to you. Every month we have this village meeting. No more at that village. You must from Lagos come back to village for this meeting. And the, you know
the who? The lady.
The lady.
The lady must be going for village.
For the no more at that meeting. And she has even bought the wrapper for her.
Okay.
And it's causing problem. My sister was pregnant as in one of the days on her way of traveling. You know, she lost the baby. All of a sudden she says she's not going again. As in, she doesn't want to attend the meeting. That brings a problem. Because the brother-in-law was like, you agreed to this agreement. Why broke it?
You agree. Oh. You agree before now. That was the condition for the marriage. The mother-in-law gave the condition for marriage. That man is useless. Why should my mother give my wife condition for living with me? It's not my mother that has problem. It's me that have problem. Do you understand what I mean? Brothers, do you understand? Amen. She agreed, so she must keep the agreement. Yes.
Church, praise the Lord. I asked two questions to ask. My first question is like this. Sir, you said it earlier that marriage is forever. You even quoted that. What God joined together, let no man put asunder. How come about the saying of Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1? Talk about separation. Numbers. My second question.
Deuteronomy chapter what?
24, verse 24. 1.
Okay.
My second question is like this. We heard in the history of the creation that God, who created us male and female. How manage the populations of women is higher than the populations of men. Praise the Lord.
I should tell you why.
I want to know.
I don't know why the population of women are more than men. I don't know.
But God, who created us, said male and female. He created us male and female.
Yes. Are they not male and female now? Eh? They are all male and female. But why one is more than the other, I sincerely don't know. But I do know that when it comes to reproduction, with a little knowledge we all know of reproductive science, we know that the ability for the woman, your wife, to deliver male or female, it is determined by the chromosomes from the man. So if women give birth to more females than the males, it is the men that are responsible. So something must be going wrong that make the men seem to be releasing more, I think, is it the Y chromosomes or something like that? More. So the ability for the determinant of whether it will be male or female comes from the husband, not the man. So I think the problem is with the man, and it is a medical condition, or let me say it, a genetic condition. God bless you. Your first question, I'm not sure you read that scripture you quoted very well. Listen to me. Deuteronomy 24, where you quoted.
Verse 1.
Moses was given the law that if a man marries a woman and he finds any reason to put her away. Because remember, Moses in the law had told them, if you don't want her again, give her a bill. That is, give her a letter, something, evidence, and put her away. Yes. But in Matthew 19, Jesus Christ said, it is because of the hardness of your heart. That's why Moses gave that law. But in the beginning, it was not so. So, and we have grace is supposed to return us to back to how it used to be. But if you read further in that Deuteronomy 24, he says, if that woman goes and marries another man, and for any reason that marriage breaks, and that woman tries to come back to the first husband she had, the law says that husband should not accept her again. Why? Because she is now defiled. Another man has chop, don't chop and finish. That is the law. You don't accept her again. That is what it says. It does not endorse breaking of marriage, divorce in any way. Read it very well.